Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone as the Utah Jazz won just a remarkable game tonight. This was really impressive. We'll dig into all this, Ron, but there's a personality that's coming out of this team that we're seeing that involves, you know, kind of the grit element of things. They were down by a lot, seven, I think, with 5 minutes left. They were down by, I think, three or four with 3 minutes left. They looked like they were dead to rights a few times tonight, and they didn't quit. And then Ricky Rubio played with a level of gumption and belief in himself that I didn't think he had, frankly. So big picture to me, Ron, in this just remarkable overtime win by the Jazz, 112-103 over Portland, is just a level of grit, just of you know, Angela Duckworth's book, Grit, to me was jumped out.
Definitely was, and not to give Rubio all the credit, but I thought that the backcourt of the Jazz fourth quarter and in overtime matched the backcourt of the Portland Trail.
Incredible comment. True.
Absolutely.
Incredible comment.
But Rubio's play, I think, in overtime was stellar. I mean, not only did he create, not only did he break the defense down and make big shots, he made free throws. And, you know, he just what's impressing me with him is if you watch him a whole game, he's always moving. I mean, he's sticking his hand in there. He's trying to come up with steals. And he's just been impressive. And if I said anything about his shooting early in the year, you know, I take it back because he's working very, very hard and proving everyone wrong.
Okay, early in one of the key possessions of the game, and I got the play-by-play sheet because as a play-by-play announcer, when it happens, you're not entirely sure when. He comes up the floor on the right side of the floor with a guy on him and off the dribble, which is his worst shot, just rises up to hit a three, and that was insane. Like, who does he think he is? I mean, the incredible thing to me is that he was willing to take that shot. He hits it. He hits another one, and then he hit the game winner.
Well, I think it was the same spot that he made the three in the first half, off the same play, in transition. Takes a three. I don't know if it was a 1-0 or 2-on-5 or whatever, but he knocked down a three. But that was huge there as well when he knocked down. I think that tied the ball game, didn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. And so that was that made his confidence now in shooting the basketball. I don't know if he realizes that, okay, I have to shoot the basketball because Rodney Hood's very inconsistent. Well, Joe Johnson's been here, and he hasn't been doing much because of his injury. But I think he thinks that he needs to shoot the basketball, and he's getting it done. But I'm very impressed on how he gets open. They're going underneath the screens on him, and he's taking advantage of it. Interested to see when they follow him over the top. They did follow him over the top a couple of times.
You can't.
And he went back to the middle and knocked down a
you
shot.
You can't follow him over the top, though, because if you're following him over the top, the big has to help, and then Rudy Gobert gets on the rim.
Right. So that's a huge advantage to the point where he is where he's very, very consistent in shooting the basketball.
All right, let me see if I can walk through these shots. Jazz are down six with 2:48 left, and Rubio pulls up and hits a three to make it a three-point game. Then, in the overtime, free throws, Rubio hits a 16-footer to put the Jazz up by six with 2:14 left. Then Rubio hits a three-pointer with 31 seconds left to put him up by seven. I mean, and the other one, let's get to the other one. They open the overtime running three straight plays for Donovan Mitchell, and he answers on two of them.
How about that? I mean, your rookie, the guy that you had penciled in to come off the bench and maybe get 13 to 14 minutes a game, and all of a sudden he's playing in overtime, and he's able to get 35 minutes in the game and very productive minutes that he had out there on the floor. I think eventually he's going to – those minutes are going to probably stay.
He's going to play.
You know, it's going to be either that three-guard rotation with Rodney Hood, and if Rodney – well, just think about this. If Rodney Hood is knocking down shots, you know, then obviously he's going to get some. He's going to get a ton of minutes. But he doesn't break the defense down. He doesn't get to the basket. This is something they've been working on him quite a bit this year, trying to get to the point where he can get layups or get foul going to the basket. And he's struggling right now.
The interesting one is his first quarters are so bad. You almost wonder if you do a favor for him. If you change it, we don't have a backup point guard, though. So the problem with starting, for those people who are like, you start Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell's the backup point guard on this roster right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a longer conversation for another time. The other one that jumps out to me tonight, Ron, is the defense that this team, we knew they could be good. And Portland's loaded offensively. And I didn't get a chance to look at the final numbers tonight of what the defensive ratings were. We got into the game, and believe it or not, I actually went away from numbers. I'm looking at them right now. Portland, who comes into this game with an offensive rating of 110.6, okay, the sixth best in the NBA, finished tonight with a 95. The Jazz defense is holding teams 8, 9, 10 points below their average points per 100 possessions. This is going to be the number one defense in the NBA. Every indication, 8 games into the season, if they're the number one defense in the NBA, we're winning a lot of games.
Well, and I know I read an article a couple of, and I totally agree with you. And I read an article a day or two ago about the Jazz defense and can it hold up all season long because they don't have an offense because they can't score. But I think our offense is getting better, but the defense is going to keep them in basketball games. I mean, that was a huge block there by Rudy. They've come up with some steals and some deflections there late in the ball game. I mean, Quinn just has this team ready. And I think the energy level of certain players out there on the floor that will do it every night for you is going to just pay dividends.
Andrew Terry says Mitchell doesn't need to start. He plays starter minutes. It's a great point.
Great point.
Chase Hamas says Tabo and Jerebko were great tonight, and they were. Jerebko had a really good game.
Yeah, we discussed Jerebko at practice this morning and this, whether or not that power forward position was going to be a good position for him. We see now that his length, and he does rebound, and he can shoot the three. The problem we were worried about was that a lot of these fours are small wing players playing four, and could he stay with them? So, obviously, with Joe being out, he's going to get those. He's going to get some minutes, and hopefully, I'd like to see him out there on the floor, and I think those minutes will increase.
Kyle Day says, "Try not to overreact. You have often compared Donovan Mitchell to Avery Bradley. Did Avery Bradley have glimpses like this? No."
No.
The first 8 games and the last 3 of Donovan Mitchell's career for a rookie are really special.
Now, Avery Bradley he's a clamp down defender. I mean, I thought he improved more as a defensive, as an offensive player, but more of a jump shooter, I thought. I think Donovan Mitchell has the dribble drive. He has he pulls up off the off screens. He can get to the basket. I mean, he has everything. I think. And he'll learn to play smarter, just put it that way, rather than trying to break everything down there.
Josh Murdoch says, what a game. You're right, Josh Murdoch. What a game.
Worth staying up for.
They're also mad at you because you keep putting your papers in front of the screen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they think you're so pretty they want to see you. He's doing it so you don't have to look at me. Rubio's having a career year so far. Can he keep this momentum? Is this – so, Ron, I went and looked at it. He scored 20 points 3 games in a row now. He's only done this once before in his career, which, interestingly, was last March. Last post-All-Star break last year, he scored 16 points and 11 assists a game. He has now scored 20 or more in 10 of his last 24 games.
Okay.
Is this real and just building off of last second half of last year and some more confidence and some more freedom? Or is this an anomaly where his career numbers, the back of his basketball card, comes back and gets him?
Now, not only is our caller wondering about that, and you, everyone else is wondering about that as well.
You think he is?
That article that I read did point that out, that how long can he do this? And we'll just have to wait and see. You know, he's working very hard. We know that. The big thing is, if it doesn't continue at the height, at the level that it is now, even a couple of notches down is awesome. So we're going to get something out of him, that's for sure.
And the big story to me is that defense just continues to be this good. I mean, they have played Minnesota, Denver. We have played some of the best offensive teams in the league so far this year, and the defense has just crushed them. And as long as the defense is crushing people, and frankly, tonight was the script by which you lose. The defense was unbelievable in the second quarter, and the offense was worse. The offense went 2 for 18 in the second quarter, and they didn't lose the game because the defense was so good that they stayed in it with a chance to win it late.
Yeah, you put together a pretty good game plan, and then you have the right players out there on the floor at the right time. Either the close games or to come back, or whatever the case. But the key is your game plan, and then making sure you have the right players out there. I mean, you had to have players out there to complement what the Portland Trailblazers was doing out there. So nice job there by Quinn, and the defense was definitely good.
Brian Bickerhoff says Rudy's block on Lillard was amazing. We agree with you. Andy says, isn't chemistry, Andy said something that went by too fast. People are just flying in with questions. Isn't the chemistry on D going to get better just like the O? Yeah, but offense gets better as the year goes on in theory.
Yeah, the defense is always ahead of the offense this time of year. Yeah.
So, anyway, nice win by the Jazz. They have Toronto on Friday. We go to Houston to see what we can do against them on Sunday and then back home for four more home games. This is a key stretch to the season. And one thing that's important about this stretch is if these guys can win these games and believe they're good, they'll start to win some other games throughout the year. And if they believe that they can play defense, they like each other, which I'm not – everyone likes each other when they're winning. I'm not the hugest believer in that. But these guys do. Rubio's a guy people like to play with. There is a camaraderie building. You can hear them talk about enjoying each other. Nobody's kind of antisocial. They're all getting along. They're all these unique people. So there's a lot to it. The rookie is a mature – Donovan's very mature, so he can hang with older guys. There's a lot of positive things going on in – you know, they all existed even if you won or lost. That's why I kind of think some of those are garbage. But the win only accentuates them a little bit more. That is our postcast tonight on a remarkable overtime win by the Jazz against the Portland Trailblazers. Have a good night and be safe.